This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, the views of our special guest this evening, Ron Brown, who we always enjoy having with us. And Ron does sell gold and silver, and he supports Radio Liberty, but we enjoy having him on, and we support him as well. But this evening, before we begin talking about what's happening financially to our nation, I wanted to mention, you know, you can tell what the future holds by how the controlled media begins to focus our attention on certain specific items. For instance, you remember it was just maybe a month or so ago when there was an article about something called melamine, and it was found in pet food, and it killed a certain number of pets, and it was a product of glutine, but an adulterated glutine that was in the pet food, and it certainly was given to some of our pigs and other commercial animals, and the animals had to be sacrificed, and people probably never even stopped to realize that an awful lot of the fruits and vegetables and various items that we get from China, you know, we're getting ever more food from China. And then we hear about, of course, the there was a toothpaste. It was a poison toothpaste that had a product in it. It was actually a poison, and it was distributed in Panama. And then we began to hear about the fish. The fish that were being grown in China were being grown under unclean circumstances and using human waste as fertilizer for them. And then a recent article, just this last couple of days, about a lot of their food and their vegetables and things are grown there on the ground that's contaminated with lead and cadmium, and an awful lot of people in China are getting heavy metal poisoning. And of course some of that food is getting into the food chain over here, and we're not having enough checking on the food. And we see these articles day after day, week after week, month after month. Now, there's always been a problem with the things we got from China. As far as their safety is concerned, they do not have the safety standards there. But why are they trying to focus our attention on this now? There's a reason for it, and whether we're going to have a trade war with China that's going to result in the collapse of their economy, I do not know. But when you see this much emphasis coordinated in the entire Western media, it's there for a purpose. You remember about a month ago we had an article about a young man who had drug-resistant tuberculosis, and he runs off to Europe to marry his sweetheart, and her father's a specialist in drug-resistant tuberculosis who works for the Centers for Disease Control, and of course he is told he should not be traveling, and he's over in Greece, and he suddenly gets back in the United States, and they're immediately holding congressional investigations. How long do you think it takes to get congressional investigations going? Obviously, this whole thing was coordinated. They were focusing our attention on this because the whole theme was we need more controls to protect the public. And, of course, the young man said, look, I mean, I was never told I was communicable. You know, and then it turns out he wasn't communicable. Why do we hear about this day after day after day? They know how to control our reality. The media is controlled by five mega corporations, covered in Ben McDuckin's excellent book, The New Media Monopoly. So watch and see what they're doing. What they're focusing our attention on. What's the crisis of the week? What do they want us to believe that isn't true? And we'll be back here in just a moment with our special friend, Ron Brown. Well, hello, Ron. How are things going with you?
Now I can hear you. I could barely hear you, Dr. Stan. I was wondering if we had a bad connection.
No, I didn't have you plugged in here. I apologize for that. Well, anyway, of course, you were saying when we talked off the air that the things are a little slow, sort of in the doldrums now, that the price of gold and silver seems to be down for the time being.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if you look at theories of market, one of the most prevalent ones is the I'm going blank on it, Elliott Wave theory. And Elliott Wave basically has proven that all bull markets, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about soybeans, stocks, bonds, real estate, or gold or silver, all bull markets go in five distinct wave patterns. Now, mathematicians can get into it and make it so complex that an MBA can't understand it, but to me what it simply describes is the psychology of a market. If you think about it, in the early stages of any bull market, by definition, you've been in a bear market up to that point, so very few people have any faith or trust or belief in that market. So when the gold market, bull market, started back in 2001, gold was at $250. Silver was at around $4. It had come down from $50 on silver and $870 on gold over the last 20 years, so not very many people were very excited about gold at that point, as you can imagine. But in the first wave up, which went from 2001 up through 2006, actually in May of 2006, gold went from 250 up to 730, and silver went from $4 up to around 1530. That is when, in my opinion, we ended the first leg and we went into the second correction wave. And that's when the powers to be in Congress and Wall Street and the central bankers all come rushing to the rescue. And they have to prop up the stock market and everything and beat down gold and silver. So they attack gold and silver with a vengeance, knock the gold down to, what, 550 or so in a very short matter, like a couple weeks. They knocked silver down from $15 to as low as $9.50. Now, for the last 14 months, we've been in that correction phase, and we're working our way back up, but we still, you know, people who bought silver 14 months ago still have a loss. So, as you can imagine, the exuberance in the market is at an all-time low right now, because of this correction phase. Add to that the simple fact that we're in the summer doldrums when the markets normally are slower anyway, so it makes the market very vulnerable and very weak.
All right there, Rock. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Ron is saying that the Elliott Wave, if you believe in the Elliott Wave theory, then we've already gone through the first of the five waves of a bull market. And, of course, gold and silver had gone up, and gold and silver pushed back down again. But, of course, we need to get to a floor, and then hopefully they'll go back up again. But certainly the stock market is being artificially propped up. Most of the stocks are well overpriced on many issues. Now, some of them are not, but many of them are, having very little to do between the cost of the stock and the earnings of that stock. But psychologically, they're playing games with our minds. As long as the market is up, as long as the economy appears to be not too bad, why people are going to be optimistic. The trouble is more and more Americans are losing their jobs. And certainly more and more people, as they look to retirement and the pension funds that they hope to have when they do retire, why, of course, many of the corporate pension funds are grossly underfunded. And, of course, they're even dependent upon their current funding by the value of the stock market. If the stock market were to drop, as Richard Russell and some of the old-timers who've been looking for a long time anticipate, why, of course, there'll be very little money in those pension funds to meet the obligations, and so many of the corporations just do not have the funding, or they're simply moving offshore, where they're not going to have to worry about paying their pensions out of the employees that they promised they'll look after in their own age. So, then, of course, we're also looking at what's really going on And that is the fact that the value of the dollar seems to be gradually declining in relationship to the value of other currencies, and even the Bank for International Settlement issued a report within the last 2 weeks suggesting that we could be on the edge of a major financial crisis. And of course, once this thing got started, they weren't sure it were where it was going to end. Did you see that report on the reports on the report from the Bank for International Settlement?
No, I didn't see that particular report. I did see another one that some Wall Street firms that were coming out and saying we were had already started the major economic collapse. You know, so yeah, we're right on the edge. You know, and back to the gold market, we've been in this correction phase, but nothing has changed. The fundamentals, as you just discussed, the fundamentals of our financial system are just getting worse daily. You know, China became a net seller of our treasury paper last month for the first time in 7 years. As you've described so many times, we need foreigners to invest $3.5 billion a day in our debt just to keep the treadmill going, and yet every week it seems like one country after another, one big institution is backing away from the dollar. So it's getting harder and harder and harder to finance this folly of this ever-increasing debt structure.
And because once the countries begin to lose confidence in the dollar and all those dollars begin coming home, this is how we've kept from having inflation. In the past, we've been able to export our inflation to the other countries, and the other countries then have held our currency to pay their debt. And of course, Russia has about $400 billion, certainly a good part of that is in American dollars. They also are holding gold, but certainly both China and Japan hold, I think China's over $1.3 trillion in funds, Japan's $800 or $900 billion, with a considerable amount in American dollars. But they fear that the dollar is going to drop. They want to get out of the dollar, so it's not going to destroy their reserves, because, of course, if the dollar drops, the value of the reserve holdings drop. And what's really so interesting is Russia has $400 billion in reserves. The United States doesn't have any reserves at all. We're having to borrow on a daily basis, and despite that fact, we're still funding Russia. We're still sending money to Russia and money to countries throughout the world, and we're going behind every single day. And how long can you continue doing that before you have to pay the piper?
I think we're getting real close, and I suspect this lull in the market, the summer doldrums, it'll turn around and it'll trigger up here by September or so. We'll see gold and silver start to rise. And once it starts to rise as we go into this third leg of the Elliott wave, that's when all the institutions start to jump on board. Because the people who couldn't see gold or silver as an investment back in 2001 can certainly look and say, my gosh, it's up 300-400%, while the stock market's doing nothing, the real estate market's a bubble. So all of a sudden, gold and silver is becoming much more attractive to a lot more people, especially throughout the world. And as we go into the next leg up, things will start to happen much, much quicker. And we'll see much more volatile moves to the upside. And I think we're getting very close to that.
Well, I think that the thing is, people have to understand that we are, the whole world's in a paper economy. You can print all the money you want to, and of course you can have all the prosperity you want to. You just print money and you create artificial prosperity. And they're massively increasing the currency in China and in India and many countries throughout the world, Russia as well. But, of course, when you do that, sooner or later you begin to destroy the value of your currency, like Mugabe has done in Rhodesia, where today in Rhodesia, inflation is running at over 4,000% a year. Over 4,000% a year, and you simply wipe out the value of the currency, and the whole thing begins to crumble. And that should be certainly a warning to the people here. People say, well, of course, we can never do that. And I would say, why not? We have totally irresponsible people. We have people in government, Alan Greenspan, who encourage people to buy homes that they couldn't afford and encourage them to take them on these alternative rate purchases, nothing down, no payment but interest, for 2 or 3 years. And of course we created an artificial bubble with that, and now these people, many of them just cannot make the payments on their homes, and more in home foreclosures. And that, I think, forebodes real economic problems, because what you're seeing is the liquidity that was there, the artificial liquidity related to the artificially high prices of the homes, beginning to disappear. And when that happens in a totally fiat money system, and you begin to get a contraction of the monetary supply, here's where you begin to get into trouble.
And that's right, and it's starting to unravel. Just this last week or so, we saw the Bear Stearns fiasco come up, where Bear Stearns had to come up with $3.2 billion in loans to its hedge fund's clients who were trying to liquidate but couldn't get out. And that represents 25% of Bear Stearns' total equity. So in order to put off the day of reckoning, because they did nothing to resolve the problem, they had to put at risk 25% of their equity. And see, all that is tied to these subprime loans, which are starting to feed throughout the system now. And if we get a chance later, I'll try to go through that thing, because it's a very complicated...
Go right ahead, and if you can explain that so that people can understand it out there, because what we're doing is beginning to just have all this liquidity begin to disappear. Now, we've got an awful lot of money out there that, just liquidity, artificial liquidity, certainly they've created out of the carry trade and other devices that have really worked very, very well. It's like making money out of nothing, but eventually comes the day of reckoning, when, of course, you either have to tighten down the monetary system or you just destroy the value of every currency in the world. And with that would come the impoverishment of literally everybody in the world, except those smart people like Warren Buffett, who now has $40 billion in cash, and most of it outside our own country, and certainly people like Bill Gates and George Soros and the others. We're moving to protect themselves as we move into this period of economic crisis.
Okay, we'll try to do it. And any attempt we do will be, very superficial. So I would encourage people to go, if they're on the internet, to go to Gold Eagle or 321 Gold. There's all sorts of articles describing what's going on with this these subprime loans. But think back to, let's say, around 2000, 2001, we had seen the dot-com bubble burst. But during that period of boom, when the dot-coms were doing wonderful, real estate values were probably going up because more people were making more money and they were buying more houses, more expensive houses. And as the real estate boom accelerated and the prices went up, it got harder and harder for people to qualify because the prices were getting so high. So while in the early stages you had the mortgage companies had their standards that they had to apply to, you had to come up with a 10% or a 20% down payment, you had to do a documentation of your financial condition and so forth. And so as people couldn't afford to pay the higher prices, they started to lower the standards. And as they lowered the standards, they got down to the point where it was, as you mentioned, no doc loans, no qualifying, you didn't have to show you had a job, interest-only loans, lower and lower interest rates. And so as these mortgage companies lowered their standards and kept making loans, they kept increasing the demand for homes because that made more people qualify, so the prices kept rising. And it just became euphoric. And so finally, at some point, when you got down to the point where no down payment, no qualifying on your loan, people just started to see it as a get-rich-quick scheme. So early in the game, the people that maybe, let's say just for example, had a $100,000 house, with prices rising, they were now up to $200,000 to $250,000. Now they get a call from a mortgage company, say, why don't you come in and refinance that 8% loan at 5%, and by the way, you've got $150,000 worth of equity, So why don't you borrow against that, and since the real estate market's so hot, use that money to go out and buy some spec homes.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a minute. And that's just exactly what happened. A lot of people did go out and buy spec homes, and they were making money because the interest rates were really pretty low. The Federal Reserve had the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Of home mortgages there. As long as the price of the houses is going up, doesn't matter if a few of them default. But when the value of the homes begins to drop, why, the value of your debt obligation begins to drop. And not only that, we begin to get into problems is you have a hedge funds like Bear Stearns, and what they did was they had $600 million, and they went out and they leveraged that to $6 billion, and then they would buy these CDOs, $6 billion, I don't know how many billion dollars, but let's imagine they bought $3 billion worth of these CDOs, as long as they maintain their value and the people are paying their interest payments, you're coming out like really great. You're making maybe 25-30% on your investment, because it's all based upon leverage. Because with your $600 billion, you borrowed $6 billion, you've got $6 billion of these CDOs, and they're all paying the interest. But what happens when the value of the CDO begins to fall and you've got to sell that? And of course you've got this tremendous hedged position. You've borrowed all this money as you're leveraged, and suddenly can't sell it. And that's where Bear Stearns got into trouble. And had it not been that the parent company lent them another $3 billion, the whole thing could have come unraveled. Well, Bear Stearns was in a position to lend $3 billion. But what happens when other hedge funds, and their hedge funds, I think, have a couple of trillion dollars, I think $1.7 trillion, something like that. And as many of these others begin getting into trouble, where is the money going to come from to get them out of trouble? And once they start falling, and you begin to see them just cascading downwards, at that point you get simply liquidity disappearing, and you lay yourself open for a 1929 style of crisis as we had. And I think this is what the financial authorities really are fearful of. They realize that once this thing gets out of hand, they may not be able to stop it. And they don't dare increase the prime interest rate, because if they do, of course, that will collapse the market. If they lower the prime interest rate to get the economy going, it'll be highly inflationary. And so they're really trapped in a system where they can no longer use the prime interest rate to control the economy, to stimulate the economy. You don't want to stimulate the economy anymore, and you certainly don't want to contract the economy. And so they're sitting there, doing nothing, hoping against hope that something is going to happen that's going to save the bacon. But I'm not sure it can be saved. What do you think, Ron?
Well, I think, it's like any Ponzi scheme. Eventually it is going to reach a point where you just can't pull out any more rabbits to keep the game going. And we're so close to that. But, I've been in this business now right at 30 years, and they've always kept it going a lot longer than I ever thought they could. So I can't promise you they're going to lose it next week or next month or next year. But, gosh, we got to be getting real close to them losing control of this thing. I mean, just think of this whole mortgage thing, this whole real estate bubble. It feeds throughout the whole system. All the pension plans that are involved in it. The building industry is a major percentage of our economy. The mortgage industry is a major percentage. So when this thing finally implodes on itself and all these bad loans can't be covered, then it's just going to come down like a ton of bricks, and it's frightening to think how fast it could come down.
Well, because the thing is, China is one of the great economies of the world, and certainly the people in China have been saving their money. They've been putting it in the banks, and suddenly they're taking it out of the banks and they're investing in the stock market, because their next door neighbor got rich simply in a matter of a month or two, and they want to get rich as well. Now, the market, of course, is guided by greed and fear. And right now, of course, the people in China are involved in that greed part of the market. And, of course, this is, you're talking about, hundreds of billions of dollars in that stock market, perhaps even more than that. And, these stocks over in China, which everybody's buying, have very little relationship to the value of the company or the earnings of the company. And I think there are a lot of people who are really worried that China could get into the same problem we did back in 1929, of course, the problem we got into here in the year 2000. And that could begin to drag down the whole world economy. And then, of course, these articles, I started the program talking about why are they planting all these articles in our media about the danger of trading with China? What do they know that we don't know about the plans? Well, you know, there's some people already saying that China could really get us into some real problems. What are your thoughts about that? If China should have a major correction, their market should have a major correction, what impact would that have on our economy?
Well, first off, since we've depended on China to finance our deficits for the last, 5, 10, 15 years, and they own about, $1.3 trillion of foreign reserves, which a vast majority of that would be in U.S. Treasury paper. So just looking at it from that standpoint, if they were to get into serious trouble, then they would be selling their U.S. Treasury bonds into the market, flooding the market with unwanted Treasury bonds, which would in turn collapse the bond market and force interest rates through the roof, which would then put the quietus on the whole economy. So that alone could wreck our economy. And as I mentioned earlier, China became a net seller of our bonds or our paper last month for the first time in over 7 years. It's not hard to see that, you know, when, if you think back 20 years, Dr. Stan, when interest rates were at 15% here, we were trying to come out of economy. The rest of the world desperately needed to trade with us. They were orchestrating their currencies lower versus the dollar, so their products would be more attractive, and that's when our trade balance would start to go through the roof because it became better to buy a Honda than a Buick, you know. And as the foreigners bought up these treasury bonds paying 15%, and because of everyone was standing in line to buy the bonds, that allowed interest rates to go down. And as the interest rates went down, the buyers of those bonds were super happy. You know, for example, Japan had traded its yen to buy U.S. treasury bonds. The dollar was rising versus the yen because of this artificial manipulation, and the bonds were going up dramatically in value as interest rates came down. So for 15, 20 years, it became very fashionable to buy more and more U.S. Treasury bonds because it was a win-win situation. But like anything artificial, it has to come to an end. And when the interest rates got to the point where they couldn't go any lower, then all of a sudden they start going back up. Now, the Japanese or the Chinese investments in U.S. dollars are losing on the exchange rate because the dollar is dropping against every currency in the world, right? Secondly, interest rates are rising, so their bond investments are now going down in value. So what everyone wanted to get into for 15 or 20 years, now everyone wants to get out. And so the other shoe is dropping, just as it dropped with the dot-com market. Any bubble is going to have the same phenomenon. It's going to have this euphoric rise, and then it's going to finally reach a pinnacle, and then it's going to collapse. And that's what happened in the doctor.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Ron and I talked during the breaks here. And if you'd like to get a copy of the complete tape of our conversations, why, they're available through Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. But right now, I want, Ron, if you would, get out your telephone number, people would like to get in touch with you. And, of course, you do have some excellent material that I know you've sent out, and I think it's been really gives people tremendous insight into what's going on. People have to understand what's happening financially if they have any hope, of course, of surviving what I believe is the coming financial tsunami. So how can people get in touch with you, Ron?
If they'd like to call me, my number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, something you'd like to ask, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And because I've been following this for, well, about 45 years now, and we've gone through a lot of ups and downs. But I think that, as with any paper economy, eventually you get to the point where the people in charge lose control. If they simply had the United States to look after, they could probably keep it this juggled and keep things from falling apart. But now they have to, of course, to worry about the Chinese economy and the Indian economy and certainly the Russian economy, and each one of these, of course, is having an impact on the United States, of course, the European economy, and the people over there in the European Union. They want, of course, to have their currency, the reserve currency for the world. And they're doing everything they can to undermine the United States. That's what the call for the Kyoto Accord really is all about. Because if we were to have signed the Kyoto Accord, it would have destroyed the economy of the United States, the manufacturing basis, because it calls by the year 2050 of lowering our use of fossil fuels 80%, and certainly immediately taking us right back the amount of fossil fuels we were using in 1990. In other words, going back certainly almost 20 years as far as the use of fossil fuels, and with the increased number of people we have and the increased use of electricity and power, it would have destroyed our nation. And that's why the European countries want us to sign and go along with the Kyoto Accord. That's why President Bush, to his credit, and President Clinton and the first Bush would not go along with the Kyoto Accord, because they realized this had nothing to do with global warming. It had to do with destroying the industrial foundation of our nation. So America's under attack from Europe. They want, of course, their currency to become the predominant currency and their economy to become the leading economy in the world. And it certainly, really, if you take all the countries of Europe and put them together, why, of course, they do have a greater industrial capacity than we do. Well, certainly, Ron, as we read and see what's happening, why, we see gold and silver having fallen off, but do you anticipate that perhaps in the fall or later this year that they'll begin to recover again?
I think once they start back up, they'll explode to the upside. You know, the more money, paper money they create, that's more paper money that can chase the limited amount of gold and silver. And so they've created, you know, just as a comparison, in 1979-80, silver went to $50 an ounce. Here we are, 27 years later, there's probably at least, I'm being conservative, 20 times as much paper values sloshing around the globe. Look at just the stock market, look at the bond markets, look, you know, the real estate markets, the value of paper out there, and yet we've been consuming silver, more silver than we produced for the last 20 years, so you probably have 20 times as much paper money ready to chase one-fourth as much silver. So when this thing takes off this time, no telling where the price is going to go, but keeping that in mind, that's why the powers to be will pull out every stop, every manipulation, every trick they can to keep people from one waking up to the dilemma that's facing them. So they've manipulated the silver market and the gold market in many, many different ways. I think I mentioned it the other night when we were discussing, but just recently a group went to Morgan Stanley, who they had been buying silver and having Morgan Stanley store it for them. And there was an article about a year ago by Ted Butler that warned people that if you bought silver and having someone else store it for you, you better immediately find out and get the serial numbers of those bars to make sure that silver is actually there. You know, to back your purchase. Apparently a group of them tried to do that with Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley wouldn't give them any satisfaction that they had the silver there, so they brought a class action lawsuit against them. And lo and behold, it turned out that Morgan Stanley not only had not bought the silver to meet those purchases, they had not even gone into the futures market to hedge their position. Yet they were charging storage fees all along. So Morgan Stanley had to come up with $4 or $5 million. I don't remember the exact figure. But to me, that's just the first shoe. You see, once silver starts up, we're going to start to see the shortages start to manifest. Because there's a lot of people holding a piece of paper that says they've got 10,000 ounces or 20,000 ounces of silver stored in XYZ depository, when the reality it probably isn't there at all. But the market's assuming that's real silver, so they're assuming a lot more silver is above ground than there really is.
Well, now, if somebody just called and wanted to know what you thought the best way to get gold and silver would be, should you be getting into these ETFs, these exchange-traded funds? Should you actually take physical possession, getting a junk silver or silver rounds, or some of the ones that are minted by the United States Mint? What's the best way to get gold and silver today?
Well, in answer to the ETF, I would just ask a question. Would you ask the fox to guard your hen house?
Okay, and the ETF, of course, is actually, isn't it who is it who actually?
Barclays, but I found out the custodian of that fund is none other than J.P. Morgan, Chase, who is the very culprit that has been manipulating the silver market on the COMEX. They're short, I don't know how many hundred million ounces. So you're talking about letting the fox guard your hen house. No, the only way to buy silver is to buy silver and take possession of it, or make sure that if you have someone else store it for you, that you make sure they're honest and you know, you have the evidence that the silver is there and have the right to go in at any moment's notice and get your silver. Because a lot of these people who store silver, all they really do is go in, maybe they have 10% of the silver on hand, but then they just use a futures contract at best to cover the other obligations. So you're really saying there's an awful lot more silver than existence than there really is. But you see, the bankers have all the paper silver they need to meet the demand, as long as people are buying paper silver. So I just suggest people don't. You know, if you're buying silver and gold to protect yourself from a failing banking system, why would you let the banks store it for you?
Well,
makes sense?
I think you're absolutely right. I think the people have to understand that you really can't trust the banks the international bankers who store it, and certainly the exchange-traded funds. Yeah, really, of course, are established so that the bankers will have the control of large amounts of gold and silver. In fact, what's so interesting, in Foreign Affairs magazine about 2 months ago, there was an article, and of course it was written for the elite, not for common people like you and me, but it was written talking about, do we need a global currency? In other words, it's very obvious to the elite that the current system, this world paper system, is going to fail, and with that will come the impoverishment of most of the people in the world. But then what are you going to do? You have to have a currency system, and you have to have some means of trading. It can't be trading cows or horses or cars. You have to have some sort of a currency that you can depend on. And they were talking about basically a world currency. That was actually issued not by government, because you can't trust government. A world currency that would be privately issued, backed by gold. And they made several references to this world currency that was privately issued. In other words, you would have some bank, they would be responsible for it, and of course if they did not have the money there, if there was a run on the bank, why, they would be held responsible for that. But of course, this was, to me, it was very intriguing, the idea of a world currency backed by gold, because if they were to do that, it would drive the price of gold up to a very, very high level.
Of course, then you got to ask the question, who is this private, not the governments, but it would be the central banks, who are private corporations, right?
Right.
So they would be the ones that created the currency. Then they would probably try to lend credibility to that currency by saying it's gold-backed.
And, of course, they could even use the exchange-traded funds, the gold in the exchange-traded funds, your gold that you think you have on deposit there, as security for their currency. And, of course, this is the greatest scam in the world, because then they, of course, can issue that, they can issue loans and charge interest on money that they've created out of nothing.
You know, always people call me all the time and say, Ron, I want to buy gold and silver, but can I put it in my IRA? And I say, well, you can, but all of that gold and silver is stored right there in New York City. So it's probably two doors down from the Federal Reserve, who, if they ever chose to go to this system like you're talking about, they could just walk next door and say, okay, that gold is now ours, you know? So I don't encourage anyone to put their gold in an IRA. If you got to keep your IRA, which I don't encourage either, then I would tell people to buy some good gold and silver shares with that early in the game, and then try to know when to cash them out. But, you know, to me that whole retirement system is designed to trap your money in the system where you can't get out. The typical person who's not up to 60 years old or so, to get out, they're going to have to pay 30 to 40%, you know, in penalty and taxes. And it always seems too hard, too much to pay. So you tend to stay in it and keep in the game. And to me, that money is very vulnerable to this crisis that's heading our way.
Well, I really feel that we are heading towards a crisis, Chris. The establishment doesn't want people to know that. But if we were to get into a major war in the Middle East, if we were, say, to get into a war with Iran, or if the price of gold was, pardon me, the price of oil was to go to $100 or $150 a barrel, and that would be very, very realistic if we were to get into a war with Iran, and Iran then were to attack the oil production facilities of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Dubai and all the others. I mean, we are certainly in a very, very tenuous position today. And, in fact, they've just sent over another aircraft carrier. It's over in India now. It seems to be moving more over towards the Gulf. We already have two aircraft battle groups and aircraft carrier groups in the Persian Gulf and one attack group, that's the Bonhomme Richard. But now they seem the Enterprise is on the way over there as well. And the question is, why would we be taking more military force over into that area unless there is a plan to attack Iran? And I really fear that the only way the president can salvage his presidency at the present time would be, of course, to have another war. And, of course, at that point, if America were to be attacked, even by very limited terrorist organizations, it would tend to rally the people behind the government. And it's the oldest trick in the world. And whether the attack is real or not, it could be entirely staged. But whether it's real or whether it's staged, you rally the people behind government. That's what Putin did over in Russia. We don't carry the book, but we've interviewed the author called Blowing Up Russia, and it involves the fact that the fact that Putin, who had been the head of the KGB, had actually ordered KGB agents, FSB agents, to blow up three apartment houses over in Moscow and kill all the residents of those buildings. They killed about 300 Russians, and they did that. And then they blamed it on the Chechens, and then they could go to war with Chechnya, and the Russian people were all rushing, you know, out on the streets cheering for Putin because he was going to take retribution on those wicked Chechens. The only trouble was, it wasn't the Chechens that did it, it was the KGB. Do governments really do things like that? Do they kill their own people to justify going to war with somebody else? And, well, we remember the sinking of the Maine. We remember how we were, of course, told about the Gulf of Tonkin incident that got us into the Vietnam War, only it never occurred, and you doubt that. You can always get in touch with us, and we'll give you the documentation. And we suddenly find out the Gulf of Tonkin didn't occur, and 58,000 American boys gave their lives over in Vietnam for nothing, and 1 million Vietnamese died, South Vietnamese, and 2 million North Vietnamese died, and it was all unnecessary. Could we be entering another war for similar purposes? A war, a no-win war, fought for entirely different purposes than the American people will ever be allowed to know. In fact, I'm not quite sure where we're still fighting in Afghanistan. We went there to catch Osama bin Laden. We didn't catch him. And then we went into Iraq because of the weapons of mass destruction that were never a threat to the United States. Because, of course, we're built with material from the United States and with funding from the United States. If you doubt that, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to get you the documentation. Understand that most of what we believe just is not true. And you're going to have to begin to understand how the game is really played if you're going to be able to survive in the coming months. And I don't think it's going to be that long before we face another very real crisis here in the United States. We've only got about a minute to wrap up the program. Let's get your telephone number and or your website out one more time.
That's 1-800-595-0561. 1-800-595-0561. You know, just adding to what you're saying, if we start another war, you know, if we start another war, you can't go out and tell the people to buy war bonds because we're already so in debt. And we're totally dependent on foreigners to keep financing our folly. So how can we expect China and the people we're asking to finance our deficits to keep doing that when we're at war with them? So, you know, any type of big drawn-out war now would really stymie our ability to continue to finance our deficit. I think it would end up in the U.S. losing its
Hold that to the right back.
Status. So I think that, you know, we're at that point where you need the crisis for them to declare a national emergency and therefore a new monetary reform, and that's what people need to protect themselves from the dollar that is being repudiated.
And I really think that people are going to have to realize that the people in key positions have been planning what's going on for a long period of time. Alan Greenspan was encouraging people to go out and get these adjustable rate mortgages. And just within the last month or two, Alan Greenspan has been expressing his concern we may be moving into a recession. Well, he's the man who, of course, engineered this whole thing. He knew exactly what he was doing when he actually encouraged the bubble in the stock market. He knew exactly what he was doing when he encouraged the bubble in the housing market. And I believe he knows exactly what lies ahead. And that, I think, is a recession. It's going to have a profound impact upon what goes on here, and whether it'll be a recession, whether it'll be a depression, whether it'll be stagflation. In other words, you have stagnation in the economy and inflation. I'm not certain. What do you think, Ron?
Well, I think the whole thing is the Ponzi scheme is collapsing, and they're setting the stage with all of this talk of the North American community, the new America, Gordon Brown in England just come out and said we need a world currency. So they're setting the stage to go towards this one world currency, and then it'll of course become the cashless society, and then Revelation 13, where you can't buy or sell without the mark. You know, I would just say in closing to people as we go to celebrate the 4th of July, that in addition to their picnics and their fireworks and all the other things, that you get out a copy of the Declaration of Independence and read that and start to understand what the foundations or what our founding fathers cherished, and start to realize how that is slipping away at a rapid rate. And we're at the point now where if people don't rise up to protect it, we will lose that form of government that gives us these freedoms and the prosperity that we've all enjoyed for generations.
And I agree with you entirely. And of course, our founding fathers recognized that our freedom came from God, and the government for instituted among men to preserve our God-given freedoms. That's a message, of course, you never hear mentioned today by the controlled media. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Ron Brown here as a guest on our program. And, Ron, you have a wonderful 4th of July. We'll look forward to talking to you again here. I think later this month we have you scheduled again.
Okay. Enjoy it, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was Ron Brown. And always a pleasure to have him. We're going to have him a little more often than right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I think I'd like to reiterate what Ron was just saying during the break. And that is that tomorrow, when you're celebrating 4th of July and fireworks and all the other things, remember what the 4th of July really represents. It represents America's freedom from Great Britain and the creation of a land where men could truly be free, and where the freedom of people was not granted by the state, but where it was acknowledged that it came from God. So get out a copy of the Declaration of Independence and reread those memorable words For we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in order to secure those rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the government. In other words, governments are set up to guarantee our God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what America was all about. And, of course, the secret of America was that we were to limit the power of the government over the lives of the people and put checks and balances there. And the checks and balances was not only legislative, executive, and judicial, but the states as well, because the states is where the power was reside. Because our founding fathers realized that if you ever centralized power in Washington, D.C., one day it would be taken over by tyrants who would find one or another excuse to centralize all power with themselves, and then, of course, to destroy freedom for the individual. So get out a copy of the Declaration of Independence and read it through. And you should be doing that every single year. And understand that this was sort of like the Articles of Incorporation of America. And then you really need to get a copy of John Stormer's excellent book, Betrayed by the Bench, because he elaborates on that concept. We carry the book, Betrayed by the Bench, and how the members of the Supreme Court, although John doesn't cover it, the members of the Supreme Court set out to destroy the religious foundation of our nation and centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and what John doesn't recognize or doesn't talk about in his book, but I talk about in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is that the Masonic Brotherhood, a brotherhood, a secret brotherhood, a secret society that worships a different God, that worships the great architect of the universe, Yahweh El, was his name, and the central part of that is Baal, for the devil. The great architect of the universe is not the God of the Bible, and of course the members of the Supreme Court controlled the United States government from 1941 to 1971 in majorities of five to four to eight to one. It was then they took God and prayer out of our schools and centralized all power in Washington, D.C., and changed our immigration laws. And, of course, they at that time they did everything they could to destroy the very fabric of our society. And they've done a pretty good job of it. Well, once we understand who it is who's involved, we can begin to take America back. There was just the Masons. There are many secret societies out there, but they're joined together by a common goal and common purpose, a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a new world leader. And we'll be talking more about that this coming hour, and we hope that you can listen on shortwave at 5.755. That's 5.755, or on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website, pull down our newsletters and read them and understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so until we're not going to be here tomorrow, I will be back again then on Thursday. We're going to take the day off and celebrate America's independence. Till Thursday, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guest. And, well, for this hour, we have with us Ray Young, and we're going to be talking about his book, For Many Shall Come in My Name. For Many Shall Come in My Name. And we've had, Sydney, our guest, Ray, several times before, but we think this is such an important subject. We want you to hear about it. Because Ray has certainly been studying the New Age movement for, how long have you been studying it, Ray?
About 23 years.
All right, fine. And, well, tell us your appraisal of what's really going on today in the world.
Well, here's a story that kind of illustrates what my book is all about and why Christians or anybody, you know, needs to know exactly the nature of, the spiritual climate of the country right now. I have a friend, a woman I know, who was in a large national chain store. And she has back problems, and this is actually an employee of the store, someone who worked there, a woman came up to her and said, "Oh, I know something that would help your back. It's called Reiki." And, this friend of mine said, "Oh, Reiki's New Age," you know, and the woman says, "Oh, no, it's not." So let me quote from my book, you know, to explain why it is. I have several pages on it. Reiki is a very widely practiced New Age healing technique, and I call it New Age because, you know, this is the power behind it. The people that use it say it's nothing more than universal life energy. It's just the essence of the universe, you know, the life force that kind of animates everything, kind of like the Star Wars type force. And they say it's in everybody, and this woman said, "Oh, it's not New Age, you know, it's just universal life force." Well, one of the major leaders of a Reiki organization, a large Reiki organization, wrote this in one of his magazines. "When I looked psychically at the energy," that means, you know, through a psychic lens, you know, like clairvoyance or whatever, "I could often see it as thousands of small particles of light, like corpuscles filled with radiant Reiki energy, flowing through me and out of my hands. It was as though these Reiki corpuscles of light had a purpose and intelligence." Now, usually, things that are scientifically based, things like, you know, massage and you know, things of that nature, don't have an intelligence or purpose behind, I mean, you know, an innate intelligence behind. They're just mechanical. So what this gentleman was saying was that, you know, Reiki was these corpuscles of light that were flowing through him, out his hands and to the other person, and they had purpose and intelligence. And over
How could particles of light have intelligence?
Yeah, so over here, this other Reiki master says that it also makes a level of spiritual transformation available to non-meditators that is usually reserved for those with a meditative path.
Well, hold on, Tom. We'll be back here in just a moment with Ray Young. Go right ahead, Ray.
Thank you. There's quite a number of people doing this, Dr. Stan. One Reiki magazine estimated that there's as many as 1 million Reiki channelers in the United States right now. You know, it'd be one thing if there was just a few thousand, you know, a relatively small number, but if this is true, you know, that
that means that this is a significant number of people. And the nature of Reiki, as I just read, is spiritual. It's spiritual in nature. Now, if you're a Christian, and if this is actually from the God of the Bible, you know, Reiki channelers would have a very glowing view of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his cross, you know, the preaching of the cross, you know, justification by his blood. You know, if this was Christian, well, this is not Christian. This comes from Tibetan Buddhism. And Tibetan Buddhism is, of course, you know, outside the Christian camp and has the view that, you know, you don't need anything outside of yourself. You know, the Buddha nature is what brings you enlightenment, you know, the Buddha self. In fact, many scholars and teachers believe that Buddhism is atheistic. It doesn't even believe in a God. It believes more in just, you know, your own personal, not so much as a divinity, but your own personal, like I said, Buddha nature, you know, has all the answers and all the things that are necessary to lead you to enlightenment. So Reiki comes from Buddhism and is based in an Eastern mindset. But that's just one of the things. You know, there's all sorts of practices out there that, you know, are leading people into the arms of mystical type of awareness. As I pointed out, you know, this happened in a major national chain. I won't mention the name, of course, but if someone could just come up to you and say, hey, have you got any kind of a medical problem, any kind of a health problem? Because Reiki is presented more often than not so much in religious terms, but in healing terms. In other words, it's something that can bring healing, but it also brings Eastern enlightenment. It brings spiritual transformation to people. So what we're seeing is something that is affecting the entire Western world. There's over a million Reiki channelers in Germany, you know, a country of only 80 million people. I got something off the internet in Great Britain that every village in Great Britain now has a number of Reiki channelers.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Ray Youngin is talking about his book, For Many Should Come in My Name. He's talking about something, a specific type of channeling. It's a sort of an idea of putting your hands out and its ability to heal by touch. But of course, there is a spiritual component to this, and what most people really don't understand is that there is another dimension in the world. I mean, we live in a materialistic dimension. We look at our hands, we look at the sky, we look at the ground. We believe in materialism. We believe that there are certain laws of physics and of chemistry, and you defy those laws. Why you get into trouble? Certainly, if the law of gravity is a very real law, and if you jump off a building, why you're going to land with a big thud? I mean, gravity, it can't change. But there is another dimension out there. And of course, the physical laws of that we live under certainly don't apply. This is a spiritual dimension, and a lot of people laugh at it. And yet, of course, the Bible warns us against it. And what does it tell us about the spiritual dimension, Ray? That what does it tell us that we should avoid, and why should we avoid it?
Well, all throughout, I have a whole chapter on this in my book. You know, why is the New Age, you know, the antithesis of Christianity? All throughout the Bible, it talks about familiar spirits, you know, demonic spirits, and that they deceive people. You know, they can indwell people and take them over and then use the person to deceive others. In my book, I talk about this woman who does a form of hypnotherapy, and this is quite interesting. Let me turn to it here. Turn to it. This is really interesting. And this is why we're not talking about cults, you know, religious cults. We're talking about something you can encounter anywhere. And this process involves, you know, kind of like a combination of chanting and meditation and hypnotherapy and altered states of consciousness. But this is what they appeal to this in their promotional literature and their brochures they put out. If you have any of these problems, this is what they address. Okay, addiction recovery, healing survivors of childhood abuse, weight management, smoking cessation, physical illness, stress management, enhancing creative potential, solving relationship problems, motivation and career success. So probably 80-90% of the people out there would be attracted to one of these, right? By the way, there's fireworks going off outside my window, so if any of your listeners hear, it's not gunfire. But anyhow, also, right, you know, right in the same promotional literature, you find that there's a very very alarming spiritual component. This woman that is featured in this article says that her clients cry when they bond with their inner God, meet their guides, you know, spirit guides, and she says, it makes my work so rewarding because I know they are taking these wonderful new friends home with them for their daily life.
Well, now, what is a spirit guide, and how does that fit into this whole scenario of this mysticism you're talking about? What is a spirit guide?
Well, a spirit guide, you know, from the Christian perspective, is, you know, in Acts, it talks Paul and Silas. Met this girl possessed by a spirit of divination. And you're familiar with that?
I said, yeah, but I want you to tell our listeners, what is the spirit guide? Who was this a woman who was the diviner? What's wrong with divination? How does it work? What's its mechanism? Because certainly we have our diviners today. We have our mediums. We have our astrologers, our fortune tellers, our clairvoyants, and increasingly these people are being accepted into a more or less main line, and of course this Reiki is simply tapping into exactly the same
energy.
Yeah,
exactly. No, it's no longer bizarre. In the business world, you know, psychics are now called intuitives, you know, intuitive development. Reiki, you know, it was once unknown in the United States. Now, as I said, there's, you know, you channel this energy into people. I mean, it's not mechanical. You don't massage anything. You just put your hands on them, and then this energy comes out. As I just read, this woman, you know, if you have all these problems, you know, relationship problems, you can come to her, and she'll hook you up with your guides, and then you can take them home and have this great relationship with them. And, this, you know, there's literally tens of thousands of practitioners and professionals that are doing this type of thing.
But where do they get their power? I mean, is this imaginary?
Oh,
do
no,
these people
no,
have real
imagined
power?
As I said, in Acts, I can't remember where it is, but it talks about this girl, it calls her a damsel in the King James. She had a spirit of divination, and she brought her masters much gain. In other words, the spirit was right a lot. In other words, you don't get much gain if you're not correct quite a bit. And something bizarre happened. This girl, you know, who was possessed by a demonic spirit, followed Paul and Silas all over town saying, "These men are from the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Notice she didn't say, "Show unto you." She said, "Show unto us." So she was trying to, or the spirit was trying to identify itself with Paul. You know, it didn't go around saying, you know, "These men are liars, don't listen to them." It was saying these men, you know, basically he was saying the truth. And, you know, and according to scripture, Paul was, you know, greatly grieved by this, and he cast the spirit out of her. And it said when her owners saw that the hope of their gain was gone, you know, they cast Paul and Silas into prison. So that shows that this was not some innate divinity. This wasn't her higher self. That when the spirit went, her ability went. And I believe that's the same with all these methods and techniques and practices I've been writing about in my book.
Well, I think the thing is that there really is this other dimension. There are these spirit beings from another dimension. They're not human. They can inhabit humans. They have tremendous intelligence, and they many times can prophesy the future. They many times can tell you things about yourself, because, of course, they have superhuman intelligence. And they many times can tell you what the future holds. But, of course, we are told in the scriptures to avoid them. In fact, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, we're told to protect us from evil or from the evil one. I mean, in fact, there's so much in the scriptures telling us about this very real danger of this otherworldly power. In fact, we're told in Ephesians, therefore we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in
high places. Yes.
And certainly Paul is trying to warn us of this other dimension that's very real.
Yeah, Christianity and occultism have never been compatible. And that's what I was trying to bring out in that Acts scenario. But what we have now that's different, and this is this book I've written isn't just to say that, you know, these things are wrong, but that they've exploded. You know, they've become major figures. Dr. Wayne Dyer is on public television every time they have a pledge drive. Have you seen him?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Yeah, every time he's on a, every time they have a pledge drive, they have him come out. He has the power of intention and the power of inspiration, and literally tens of millions of people are exposed to him on public television. Many times whole evenings are devoted to him. He sold 50 million books. One man alone has sold 50 million books. He preaches meditation, our inner divinity, our higher self. You know, he talks about the universe, you know, as being God. And one thing I wanted to, this is our last interview here in this series, I wanted to leave your listeners with the following information here. This is the very essence of what we're talking about. This isn't just an intellectual belief system where somebody tells you something and you believe it intellectually. The key to all this is the practice of meditation, and I have three quotes here in my book. Meditation is the doorway between worlds, the pathway between dimensions. Meditation is the key. These are three separate quotes, by the way, and they're not the same quote. Meditation is the key, the indispensable key to the highest states of awareness. Meditation is a key ingredient to metaphysics, as it is the single most important act in the metaphysician's life. And metaphysics means beyond the physical, you know, the supernatural realm. So what we're seeing is a movement, a mass movement of people who are embracing meditation. And anybody who's read, you know, many popular magazines out there now, they'll see pictures of, like, beautiful models in the lotus position and, you know, with their eyes closed, meditating. I mean, that's been very common for, you know, the last 15, 20, 25 years or more. See, especially sometimes men, but usually women meditating. And what they're doing is they're emptying their mind through repetition. They're chanting a mantra, either silently or out loud, or they're focusing on their breathing. And when you do that, it creates an altered state of consciousness, and that gives familiar spirits, like we talked about earlier, access to you. And when, see, one doesn't learn Reiki in the mechanical sense. One goes to a Reiki master and is initiated into it through a weekend-long, you know, mystical process.
And, of course, the other thing, it all has to do with contacting these spiritual beings from the other dimension. And you mentioned earlier, this was all about the meditation, was to contact the other dimension. There is another dimension. You should not be trying to contact it. Certainly, God has warned us again and again to avoid it. We need to know it's there. The trouble is it's spreading into our churches today and misleading our people. Well, Ray, go ahead, pick the story up there.
You mentioned churches. It's really strange that this massive mystical activity would be going on in all these different areas simultaneously. Like, I could see it, you know, just in the religious realm. But it's going on in the business world. Brian Tracy, one of the leading figures in corporate motivation, talks about the superconscious mind. He has a whole chapter devoted to it in one of his books. He calls it the master power. And even mentions Madame Blavatsky and the Theosophical Society in context of, you know, he calls it the secret doctrine, you know, which is one of her books. So he's linking this secret power to, you know, a woman who was an occultist. And this book is endorsed by, you know, many leading figures in the corporate world, you know, Ken Blanchard and others. So, it's just incredible the scope that we're seeing it's not just Reiki. There's things called practice called therapeutic touch, it's also based on the aura and mystical states of awareness, and tens of thousands of nurses have learned that. Another thing is meditation is widely taught for stress reduction, and as you read, even if you're meditating for stress reduction, you can have encounters with spiritual beings. Ken Wilber said that if you're doing meditation correctly, you're in for some very rough and frightening times. Meditation as a relaxation response is a joke. Another thing is in the field, as I just read, the field of psychology and counseling and self-help. Go to any chain bookstore and go to their self-help section, and if you know what to look for, you'll find the majority of books are coming from a New Age perspective, incorporating meditation as the avenue to reach your goals. You know, you've heard of Deepak Chopra?
Right, huh?
Okay, you won't find his books in the New Age section. You'll find his books in the self-help section. Same thing with Wayne Dyer. Wayne Dyer is just as metaphysically oriented as Deepak Chopra, but you'll never find his books in the metaphysical section. They'll always be in the self-help section.
Well, of course, a lot of this, of course, is being even sold in the Christian sections of our bookstores and even in Christian bookstores as Christian literature. In fact, recently we've seen something come out called The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, and of course it's gotten tremendous play all across our nation. It's been endorsed by Oprah Winfrey, who is a professing Christian, and she says, this is the secret. We've been trying to get our people, our listeners, to understand. This is what I've been trying to get them to understand for a long time. And now this is a book, it's a DVD. My understanding is about 4 million copies of the book have been sold.
About 5 million now.
5 million, and certainly the DVD.
Counting.
And the DVD is doing very, very well, and this is being adopted all across America. I had a fellow just call me this morning, listened to our program, I think yesterday, and heard your conversation. His wife is going to secret club meetings every Monday evening, being indoctrinated into the secret, and we'll be back in just a moment, and Ray's going to tell us about the secret. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ray Young, and we were talking about the secret. I mean, this is a phenomenon that I have not seen really before. The woman named Rhonda Burns from Australia says that she was in a crisis situation until she stumbled across a book that told her a story. The book was almost 100 years old, but the book told about a means by which you can contact your true self. You can actually begin to manipulate the entire universe with your mind. And of course, once you understand that you can manipulate the universe, you can have whatever you want, and it's all based upon the law of attraction, as I mentioned during the break. Oprah Winfrey has endorsed this on 2 occasions, has had Rhonda onto her program, and has said publicly, this is what I've been trying to get people to understand. Now, that's quite an endorsement coming from a woman who, Oprah Winfrey, who professes to be a Christian. So what is the secret really about, Ray?
Yeah. First, I should give your listeners some background on Oprah Winfrey. You know, she was raised a nominal Baptist, and in the somewhere in the 1980s, probably earlier, mid-80s, she read a book by a Unity minister named Eric Butterworth. He wrote a book called Discover the Power Within You, and she's actually endorsed this book on the front cover, you know, a glowing endorsement. And Discover the Power Within You is that man is divine. That's what it says in the book, that man is divine. You know, you are God. And she became a devotee of Eric Butterworth, and I don't think she joined the Unity Church per se, but it led her on kind of a quest to you know, New Age spirituality in general. And she kind of has a buffet approach to it. She has a variety of New Age luminaries on all the time. She had Gary Zukav on for like quite a long time, like a couple of years, and then I think he's been on recently. Anyhow, his book, The Seed of the Soul, it says, dwell in the company of your non-physical guides and teachers, and take your hands off the steering wheel of your life and let them take over and say, thy will be done. And this is a guy that, this is from a book that Oprah says is probably her, the most important book she's read. So anyhow, it figures then that she would promote The Secret, because this is right in line with the metaphysical teaching. And in The Secret it says, I have a section on it here, it says, you are God in a physical body. You are all power. You are all intelligence. You are the creator. You, that's everybody out there. You are all power. You are the creator. So since you're the creator, you know, you're creating your own life all the time without knowing it. In other words, if you're thinking negative thoughts, even if you're scared, I mean, even if you're not consciously thinking negative thoughts, but unconsciously thinking them, you know, you're still creating your own reality because you're God. And like if you get in a car wreck, you know, it's because you're scared you might get in a car wreck, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, you don't have to actually say, you know, I want to get in a car wreck. You just got to be kind of nervous, and then that would cause you to get in one. You see what I mean? I mean, that's what the secret is. Really bizarre, because, you know, it's real subtle. You create your own reality even at a, you know, really, really minute level. So the idea is to understand that and start creating your reality in a more conscious way, and then you can have anything you want. And they say that Rhonda Byrne says that, by the way, that DVD she did, I've seen it. It has really powerful production value. She was some kind of a TV personality, behind-the-scenes TV personality in Australia, and she really knows how to put together a show. And have you seen it, Dr. Stan?
Yes, I have. I watched it several times. I think it's important to understand what the enemy is
well,
doing.
Well, you know what I mean, then. It's very, I mean, they have real powerful music, and the editing is really fast-paced, and they have all these New Age spokespeople on, you know, and I mean, it's really hard to resist, you know, I mean, if you're not a strong Christian.
Well, the thing is that she says there is an ancient secret that has been passed down, going all the way back to the god Hermes. The secret has been buried, but kept from the public. We could never let the public know what it was, and that really is true. And this has been passed down for 5,000 years or more. What is the secret? Well, the secret is, of course, that you are God.
Yeah, it says, let me quote here, this is from the book, and also probably the DVD, no matter, I think this is at the end of The Secret, it says, no matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. You are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life, and
hold
now you know
we'll
the
right
secret.
Back. Go right ahead there.
Yes. Did your listeners get that last part?
Well, go ahead and repeat it for
me. Okay, I'll repeat it. This is at the end of The Secret. No matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. You are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life, and now you know the secret. So it sends people off. Now you know who you really are. You're God. So, you know, you have to start, you know, acting like you're God. And what would, what kind of beings would want you to think you're God? Well, you know, fallen angels, familiar spirits. And the Apostle Paul warned, you know, that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I think you and I would both agree that the secret is, you know, is doctrines of devils.
Well, I think the teachings of devils. There are basically two things that were told from the book of Genesis, and that is when the serpent talked to Eve, he told her two things. If you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can become as God, and ye shall never die. Those were the two secrets. And, of course, the entire message of the secret is, you are God, and actually, you shall never die. Or you may pass on to another form, but you will come back again. In fact, if you read the writings of some of the people who embrace this, they tell you that Hitler was not a bad guy. He didn't kill anybody because they all came back again in a better form.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, conversations with God. Yeah, Neil Donald Walt says, his spirit guide says that Hitler didn't hurt anybody. He helped people. You know, he released them from their physical bodies.
And you wonder, is this madness?
I can actually read that. Let me turn to it here. It's quite amazing. This is in his third book. And let me see if I can find it here. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I found it. It's Neil Donald Walsh's third book. And these are all New Age primers. He said, this is not him speaking, but his God, you know, the one he thinks is God. And his spirit guide says, so the first thing you have to understand, as I've already explained to you, is that Hitler didn't hurt anyone. In a sense, he didn't inflict suffering, he ended it. There is no death. Life goes on forever and ever. Life is. You simply change form. After you change form, consequences cease to exist. There is just knowing, you know, in other words, just higher consciousness.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess is Ray Young, and then Sydney, we're talking about his book, For Many Shall Come in My Name. For many shall come in my name. And of course, that quotation actually is taken from the scriptures where Christ is asked, how will, by his disciples, how will we know, you know, that, you know, the end times are here? And one of the things that Christ said was, for many shall come in my name. And, of course, the thing is that we're told there's going to be a great apostasy at the end of the age. And that that's before the man of sin or the man of perdition is revealed. Well, before we go on, Ray, would you like to get your website out in case people would like to get in touch with you?
Yes,
we will be carrying the book of For Many Shall Come in My Name, because we feel that Ray's done a great job in writing this. But would you like to get your website out?
Yes, www.lighthousetrails.com. That's www.lighthousetrails.com.
And they have a lot of very good books that go into this whole subject. And they're on the front lines of trying to educate the Christians that this movement has infiltrated our Christian church. And because we're seeing this move towards Christian mysticism, altered states of consciousness, centering prayer, the emerging church.
Yes, the emerging church.
Experience Christianity. Experience God. Experience Christ. Pick up the story there, Ray.
Yes, the emerging church, you know, the purpose-driven church, both these movements have so-called Christian mysticism at their heart. In Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Church, he talks about the spiritual formation movement, and he mentions Richard Foster and Dallas Willard. And, you know, I've talked to Richard Foster personally, and I've read his book, and And I did extensive study on the views that he draws on the practices, and they come from the Desert Fathers. There were these monks that lived in the deserts of North Africa and the Middle East, and they developed this way of praying that uses a mantra-like device, repetition. And it was, practiced in monasteries and convents throughout the Middle Ages and Renaissance. You have great mystics, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, Meister Eckhart, and they all had this view, that mystical view, that God was in everything. St. John of the Cross said, "My beloved, God is the mountains and the forests and the rushing rivers and the remote islands, and not God created them, but God is them." And again, Meister Eckhart had similar views, that God is in all that exists. St. Bernard of Clairvaux said, "God is the rock and the rock and the tree and the trees." And now, if God is the rock and the rock, then we should worship the rock, right? Well, the thing is, see, God made the rock and he made the trees. He upholds them. I believe God upholds everything, and I believe his glory is all throughout creation. But God is not in the rock. God is not in the rock. But yet, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, was a mystic that practiced these mind-altering types of prayers that the Desert Fathers invented or picked up on. And he had the same perception that Hindus and Buddhists and Muslim Sufis do. So then in the 1960s, a man named Thomas Merton decided that everybody, all Christians, needed to do this, not just people in monasteries and convents. So he brought this practice out in the open, and it started spreading all throughout, initially mainly the Roman Catholic Church, and then it spread to the mainline Protestant churches, and now it's beginning to become ever popular in the evangelical church. And you find it, like I said, in the purpose-driven movement. Rick Warren makes reference to people that promote this type of prayer. Gary Thomas wrote a book called Sacred Pathways, and he has a whole chapter on centering prayer. He says you just pick a sacred word, repeat it over and over for 20 minutes, and that will put you in the presence of God.
But of course, what you're really doing is sort of a self-hypnosis. You begin to put yourself into an alpha state.
Yes, alpha. There you go.
And then you open your mind to demonic possession.
Well, that's what I believe. I believe that, in a very broad sense, in real sense, the people that practice this tend to be interspiritual. Like Thomas Merton, Henry Nouwen, many people were, extremely interspiritual. Henry Nouwen would meditate with Buddhists, and he said his silence, their silence, would meet and greet each other. And he said that he wrote the foreword to this book for a priest that went to India and learned from the Hindus. And Henry Nouwen said that this man, Father Ryan, brought home many treasures for the spiritual life of the Christian. Many treasures. And Henry Nouwen believed that God was in all people, that everyone was a child, all people were children of God. And he said that we needed to move from the moral to the mystical, that Christian leadership in the future would turn to centering prayer whenever they had any kind of decision to make or any kind of problem. They would always turn to centering prayer. He said we needed to move from the moral to the mystical. And in the book that he said that in, Kay Warren, Rick Warren's wife, said that she had underlined practically every sentence.
Well, of course, we can always say, well, maybe there's something to this, except that in the Holy Scriptures we're told to avoid this type of thing. We're
yeah,
told
vain repetition.
Avoid the mystical. Avoid those, of course, who are in contact with the other dimension, whether they be diviners or clairvoyants or astrologers or mediums or certainly fortune tellers. There are all sorts of these people out there. They're mystics. And they're tapping into the other dimension. And God has warned us, both in the Old Testament, and Paul warned us in the New Testament, and Jesus warned us in his writings at least as recorded in what he said, is recorded, to avoid this at all, under all circumstances. And you wonder how any Christian minister could be trying to get people involved in the supernatural.
Well, the big appeal is supposed intimacy with God. You know, one of the common themes I've seen throughout the writings in the Christian realm is that people had dry prayer life. You know, their Christian life was dry and unappealing and unfulfilled and boring. And, you know, they were just, they did a lot, but they were unhappy. So they found out there's this mystical tradition that goes back centuries and it's starting to get popular, and they jumped on the bandwagon. And, you know, one sees that over and over again in their explanations. You know, they were active Christians, but they were bored Christians. You know, all their activity wasn't really paying off. And they thought, well, you know, I could do centering prayer and I could be in the presence of God.
Yeah, but of course, what God are they the center of? And I think this is the really difficult thing for most Christians to believe. But there really are a lot of people. We're talking about countless millions of people in the United States today who worship a different supreme being.
Yes.
Now, we believe there's only one God. They believe that there are two gods, the God that the Christian worships, and then the real God, which is the one that they worship. And, of course, this is the secret of Gnosticism, the secret of the Kabbalah, the secret that the Rosicrucians have passed down through the ages. In fact, if you look at the movie The Secret, and you slow it down and watch it frame for frame, every now and then will flash up on the screen the word Rosicrucian. But you're not going to see that. It's embedded subliminally there. And I actually have pictures where we just took one frame there, and there it is on one frame. The word Rosicrucian.
That's interesting.
Yeah, most people have never seen it because it goes by so quickly.
That is very interesting. Yeah, the Rosicrucians were a secret society that taught basically the same thing. One thing I wanted to say about The Secret is that, you know, it was weird they used Abraham Lincoln. Supposedly The Secret is something that's supposed to, you know, improve your life, and you're going to have this fantastic life. Well, if you study Abraham Lincoln's life, he was in love with this woman who died, you know, before he became president. You know, he's really deep in love with her, and she died of some disease. And he had a son that died while he was in the White House. And of course, he was assassinated. He got shot in the head by John Wilkes Booth. Now, does that, for a man who had mastered the secret, you know, something was wrong?
No, I think that he was into mysticism and into astrologers and all of these things, as have many of our presidents, certainly. Woodrow Wilson, FDR, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, they were all into astrology. And the average person has no idea.
Well, see, if the secret is right, then Abraham Lincoln brought his assassination on himself because he somehow put that thought vibration out into the universe, and the universe responded. So, see, it's not true, you know. Abraham Lincoln supposedly, if he knew the secret, he's supposed to have a happy life, but yet he had a miserable life. He suffered from depression, you know. He had bad relations with his wife. You know, she was very mentally and emotionally unstable. So, you know, it doesn't work.
It doesn't matter whether it works or millions of Americans believe it's working, and they're going to secret classes now, they're reading this, and they're beginning first to meditate. They're beginning to ask for those things to focus their attention, and of course it's really almost like a focusing prayer, to focus on the new car they want, the job they want, the wealth they want. And they're promised that they're going to get it, you know, if they really believe they're going to get it.
And it's called the law of attraction,
right.
The law of manifestation.
And, of course, the trouble is that in some instances it does work, But where? Why does it work? Does it work because there's something physical there? They tell you, oh, the law of attractions is just another one of the natural laws of the universe, like the law of gravity. No, it's not. It's a law. It's a law of the supernatural universe, and of course, it gets you right into the other dimension.
Yes.
And that, if when it works because you've contacted the beings in the other dimension, and you've forfeited your right, of course, to a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they take various things from the Bible and say, you know, one of them is, you have not because you ask not, you know, things like that. But of course, in Christianity, it's not the secret, it's Lord, thy will be done. But do we have time? Do we have enough time? I wanted to read this, the rest of Neil Donald Walsh's God Said.
You go right ahead.
They all kind of tied together. I want people to understand that this kind of spirituality gains, you know, ascendancy, like, you know, I believe it will. You know, we're going to have a vastly different country from what we have had. I read the first and second parts in Neil Donald Walsh's third book, Conversations with God, but there was a break. Anyhow, this is his spirit guide speaking, claims to be God. Yet I have said over and over again, there is no right or wrong in the universe. Now, did you get that, Dr. Stan? There is no right or wrong.
Right.
Now, your thought that Hitler was a monster is based on the fact that he ordered the killing of millions of people, correct? What if I told you that what you call death is the greatest thing that could happen to anyone? What then? In other words, by killing, you know, the more people you kill, the better person you are, the bigger the favor you're doing. This. So if you really want to do somebody a big favor, kill them. You know, if you really love someone, you really like someone, you should kill them, because that's, you know, that's what Neil Donald Walsh's God says, the greatest thing that could happen to anyone, you know. Kill them.
Well, the thing is, of course, that this may appear to be organized madness on the part of, you know, to rational people. But the trouble is that when you begin thinking this way, you no longer are thinking rationally. You're thinking emotionally. And so often, when we talk about what's going on in society today, we point out that there are people who have a different world view, because they worship a different God.
Yeah,
and that's
in the Judeo-Christian tradition, it says, thou shalt not kill. You know, thou shalt not kill. I mean, that's why people like Hitler and Stalin and Genghis Khan, you know, are viewed as bad individuals, because they killed people, you know, on a vast scale. You know, you're supposed to in Christianity, you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, you know, a far different cry from the spiritual source that Neil Donald Walsh is in contact with. I mean, there's a radically different framework in these two beliefs about God and religion. Radically
he is
different.
In contact with a different God, or at least a different spiritual force. We mean, we would not acknowledge it is a God. It is an agent, of course, the angel of light. Lucifer himself, and if you read their literature, you know, you get into Rosicrucianism and so much of this, you find out that they think that Lucifer is really a good guy, and the God we worship is a fool.
See, now for the clincher, Neil Donald Walsh is actually in The Secret. He's actually featured in The Secret, and the biography in The Secret says that he's a modern day spiritual messenger, and that his books are groundbreaking. What I just read about Hitler, you know, killing people is you know, a good thing, and that Hitler didn't inflict suffering, he ended it. And that, there is no death, there is no right and wrong. That's Neil Donald Walsh. He's in The Secret, and it's set, and the people that put The Secret together say that he is a modern-day spiritual messenger. You know, so that kind of puts it all in perspective. Anybody can go to any bookstore, look in the back, find Neil Donald Walsh, there's a picture of him, there's a biography there, and that's what they say, that he's a modern-day spiritual messenger. But I just read you what his message is.
And of course, these people are transmitting to modern times the ancient wisdom of the past. This is what the secret was. It was passed down certainly to the ancient mystics and the Magi and the Kabbalah and the Gnostics and the Rosicrucians and certainly the Knights Templar and then the Illuminati and the Masons, so right up to the secret of today. Understand, it's not imaginary. This is sweeping America, and you shake your head and say, how could that be? Well, because I believe that there are powerful spiritual forces at work in America today, and Ray Youngen's book, For Many Shall Come in My Name, is must reading if you want to get a grasp of the insanity we face today. Well, Ray, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Yes. I think what you just said kind of wraps it up, that the way things are going, if not already, everybody in the country is going to have some family member or coworker or friend who has been impacted by this to some degree. Whether, you know, there's a variety of ways, you know. It's not a matter of joining some kind of weird church or cult. You know, they can, like I said, the beginning of the program, a friend of mine was just in a store and his back problems, and somebody who works at the store came and said, oh, I can help you, or I know something to help your back, Reiki, you know. Had my friend knew about Reiki and knew that it had New Age spiritual connotations. Had she not known, she may have went for it. See, that's why, people need to know about this. They may have they may go to a massage therapist or a chiropractor or a clinic or something, and a counselor, and they'll want to do Reiki on them, and they'll tell them, you know, this is this universal life energy, but they need to understand that, they're dealing with spiritual energies here, you know, Reiki is based on enlightenment from Tibetan Buddhism, and it's not just some kind of neutral Western-based scientific healing method. It's very mystical. Like second-degree Reiki, you can do it on people, you know, long distance, like on the other side of the planet.
Well, the thing is that sometimes it works. Sometimes these people get dramatic.
Certainly, people feel it. Certainly, I've talked to many people who have felt the energy. And certainly, in fact, I've talked to a former Reiki channeler who's now a Christian. And she, she got out of it. She was saved and born again and got out of it. She said that it does actually heal sometimes, but people always feel something. There's always a sense of being impacted by an energy. So, you know, she's living proof that people can, you know, even come out of the depths of something like this. I mean, that are totally into it. But, I believe that your listeners, whether they're Christians or not, need to be informed as, you know, which side are they going to be on. You know, there's this great leveling, this great shaking up of things. And, you know, if you're in the middle, you're going to wind up in one camp or the other.
Well, I hope that, of course, what is going on will strengthen your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and make you realize that we have to be totally dependent upon Him in these times. We can't change what's going on, but we have to recognize what is going on. And these are frightening things. Ray Aaron, thanks so very much for being with us.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Ray Youngen. We have certainly other conversations with him. We did them yesterday afternoon. Our telephone, if you'd like to get our interviews with Ray, you can get them by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. You can also get his book, For Many Have Come in My Name. And then, of course, I don't know how many of you heard our interview the other night with Johanna Michelson, who was a medium, who actually did have supernatural power. And then, of course, the sudden realization that the things that she was witnessing and doing were coming from the demonic side. If you have not yet heard our 4-tape set, we have called The Supernatural, which features several interviews with Johanna and several interviews about Aleister Crowley or four tapes out on Aleister Crowley or our book Satanic Crimes or our book Programmed to Kill or the book The Diary of a Devil Hunter. We have a four tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have all sorts of information that Sydney, that we recommend to you. In fact, we can come of have other information. We have another book that Ray Youngen set, and of course, one of those is called A Time of Departing. A Time of Departing. So we carry two books for Ray. One is for many, so come in my name. The other is A Time of Departing, and we do have a good section, a good cross section of books that will introduce you to this whole other world. Certainly we carry Constance Cumby's talk, The Emergence, talking about the emergence of the coming world leader. And everything points to the fact that he's waiting, he'll be emerging very soon. We have a four-tape set of interviews with Constance Cumby. Let me suggest my talk. It's entitled The Forbidden Secret. And it really deals with what Rhonda Byrne has been talking about. But only when I gave the talk, I'd never heard of Rhonda Byrne. In fact, I left in the segment at the end of the interview where somebody asked me if I'm talking about the law of attraction and Rhonda Byrne, and I'm shaking my head. I don't even know what he's talking about. But we were all talking about the same thing. But I was warning people about the secret, and Rhonda is trying to recruit them into it. And, of course, we also have a four-tape set that we put together because we want you to have it. It is called The Secret Behind the Secret. You get it in tapes or in CDs. You need to have this to give to others because every one of you out there knows somebody who's being recruited into this movement. It is the greatest phenomenon of modern times. It really threatens to change the world in which we live. That is The Secret Behind the Secret 4-tape, 4-CD set. Some churches are warning against it, and some churches are embracing this idea because this is Christian mysticism. Only the trouble is that it is not Christian at all. It is simply mysticism, and they, of course, put a Christian veneer on it. They call it centering prayer, the emerging church. They have people walking in labyrinths and, of course, people going into altered states of consciousness. Even many of our evangelical churches have adopted their music, where there will be a repetition over and over and over again in the course of the song to put you into a state of altered state of consciousness. Understand what's going on, and please help us try to warn others. I think we're moving towards a crisis situation, and you best be well armed for this. So please call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Consider my talk, The Forbidden Secret, the four tapes set, The Secret Behind the Secret. Then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Thursday, because we won't be here tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.